You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is not here this week. She is on vacation. But have no fear. Our trusty team of fine producers, Frank and Parker, are here with me, and we will endeavor to... We're going to do the show, and then Jamie will come back next Monday, and everything will be back to normal. Hi, boys. Yeah. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good weekend?
I'm good.
No,
dude. My
still
entire...
Sick?
I'm not sick. My wife got sick Friday.
Oh.
And a lot of plans were derailed.
Oh, no. So yeah. Did you have to take on caregiver mode?
I did for Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you do with that, Nurse Ratchet?
I'm fine. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot I had to do. I mean, I had to run to Jewel and get like saltine crackers and Gatorade and Pedialyte and all that stuff.
All right.
And then got the request, can you get me applesauce? So then I was going up and down aisles and I couldn't find it and I refused to ask a worker.
Why would you not ask where applesauce is?
Because
you didn't see
that's
like the
weird...
canned fruit aisle that would
be
where
it was with the baking stuff.
Really?
What?
Yes, it was a weird placement, but no, I don't know. Asking somebody where the applesauce, it's a weird item to ask.
Not if you're not really if you're a parent with a child. I mean, you don't.
Yeah,
have a child,
I don't.
But they
I'm
don't
not
know,
a parent with a child.
Right, but
you're
don't.
Of that
they
age.
Don't know that, and you look like you could be. So applesauce. It's not like you were asking for some exotic ingredient that a regular Jewel Osco is not going to carry.
I would rather ask for that.
An exotic ingredient?
Well, yeah, because let's say I put on the charade that I do have a child.
All right.
Mom's not here. Dad's out grocery
Divorced
shopping.
Dad, maybe.
Yeah, he doesn't know what
weekend.
He's doing because he didn't care enough.
Wow.
He didn't pay enough attention. He never did the grocery shopping. So now he's lost. He can't even find the applesauce. It's a whole thing, and I'm not buying into that.
Okay.
I'm not going to let the man win, Brian.
Well, so how long did you waste wandering aisle to aisle?
Oh, at least 10, 15 minutes just right. trying to find this one item.
But your pride is worth it. Parker, see what you have to look forward to when you get you get a little older?
What I'm hearing is I just have to make sure I know where the applesauce is and I'll be good
That's
to go.
Good point. Yeah. don't just count on your mom to do all the grocery shopping.
Oh, no,
you
got
to get out to the store yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it weird, though, that when somebody gets sick, they revert back to asking for very unusual things, probably from their childhood? That made them
right.
feel better when they were kids. They go, oh, I know what'll help, some applesauce.
I know. I was like, really? That doesn't sound appetizing.
Plain or cinnamon? What kind did you want? Just plain old applesauce?
Well, that's the other thing.
There's a million applesauce.
There's a million applesauces, which I didn't know. So standing in front of it. There's, do you want organic? Do you want Granny Smith? Do you want Honeycrisp? Do you want cinnamon? Do you want... Right. No sugar added. Do you want sugar added?
Do you want a jar? Do you want individual cups?
So I took a picture and I said, do you have a preference? And I said out loud to myself, like a psychopath, she is not going to respond until I start driving away.
Oh, yep. Of course.
Yep. That's how it works.
No doubt about it. You're going to
so
make
I
a
made
pick
the decision.
And it's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
I checked out. I'm in the car. And sure enough, soon as the wheels start moving, I get a response. And I did not pick the right one.
Of course not.
Oh, no.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Oh, man. I don't even know where to begin with this. But do you do the grocery shopping? Would you have known where the applesauce was? Or are you like Frank and your pride gets in the way and it makes you just wander about? Parker, you started to say something?
I mean... Parker, I don't.
Okay.
I'm never asking for help. I will put that out right there. I'm never asking for help in the grocery store.
See,
because
now,
I don't like asking people for anything.
I don't either.
Especially in
but
public.
I am always in such a hurry to get out of any environment and back home that I will ask just to expedite my exit from said store.
Okay.
Because I don't want to be there wandering the aisles with people who are slumped over. Everybody goes into a store and they become the blobs from WALL-E, the animated film, where they're just laying over their car. It's so hard to walk. And it's like, stop, just stand up straight, push the cart. Don't walk next to the cart. I hate those people too. They're walking down the narrow grocery store aisles. They're walking next to their cart.
Oh no.
So they're taking up the whole aisle. They don't know what they don't know where the applesauce is, and they're just wandering around getting them out. That's why I will ask for help just so I can grab what I need and get out of there, and then get more aggravated with the people who are driving poorly on my way home till I can finally find peace.
But here's what I'll say. Let me defend myself real quick.
Please do.
At least I was doing this during off hours.
Okay.
I wasn't one of those idiots that's walking around like Sunday right before Packers kickoff, like prime shopping time, trying to get home.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying to decide, I'm going to mosey on. I'm going to look around. I'm going to check out the applesauce selection.
The applesauce.
It was a Friday at like what?
Okay.
We got done with the show at 9. Done with our meeting at 9:30.
Right.
So I think I left at like 10:15.
Okay.
It's off hours.
Most people should be at work. I did find yesterday I went to the grocery store at like 10:30. And it was great. Cause I got in and I barreled through that grocery store. Everything was there. Lynn says they keep moving everything around, reorganizing, make it better. That's Lynn's in Golden Valley. Listen to WCF. Yes, if I
completely agree.
If I go into a different store, a different grocery store than my usual, and all of a sudden I'm turned around, I'm like, oh no, where is everything? Now I'm Frank. Now I'm just wandering because it's my own fault. I don't know this grocery store. I dared to try something different, and it's, oh boy.
That's why you never try something different. Also, Pam on the live stream says, good morning from Southern West Virginia.
Wow. All right. Good morning, Pam. Southern West Virginia.
We're nationwide.
Coal mining country.
Is that coal mining country?
West Virginia used to be coal mining country. Now coal. We're going to bring coal back, Frank. They're going to try. Hey,
I'm
boys,
sure.
I don't know if you celebrate, but today is 420 day. Today is 420. Everybody waking and baking.
Parker, where's the Bob Marley? You don't have that locked and loaded?
We need to be all Cheech and Chong reference. I want Harold and Kumar drops all day. I don't even know. I haven't asked. It's none of my business. You can defer. Are you cannabis aficionados, either one of you?
I never got into it, Parker.
Because it's illegal in Wisconsin. You better watch what you say.
Right.
No, how much time we got?
We got plenty of time.
I had a bad experience, Brian. I'm going to be honest.
Jail time in Turkey? Did you have to bite
a guard's
tongue out?
We were in Illinois. This was legal. Okay. Actually, was it legal at this time? I can't remember. Anyway, I was right out of college, and we went to a Lollapalooza after show. If you don't know what Lollapalooza is, it's a very famous music festival in the Chicagoland area.
Frank, let me interrupt real quick.
Go ahead.
Because then we'll move on from the applesauce. Jim in Campbellsport works at Piggly Wiggly. He says applesauce is next to the canned fruit in Piggly Wiggly, which is why I said it should be right near the canned fruit.
Hey,
he doesn't know why it was next to the baking stuff in your store.
Made no sense.
All right, so you're at a Lollapalooza after show.
And
you're high on Molly. Is that correct?
No. The people I was going with had edibles.
Okay.
And they said, do you want one? And I said, I really haven't partaken ever. Yeah. They're like, really? I said, no, it's just not my thing. Like, I have no desire. No shade if you want to do it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, just try a little bit. I was like, whatever.
Peer pressure.
Whatever.
In your 30s, there's peer pressure?
This was, I was 22.
Oh, okay. You were younger. Oh,
yeah.
All right. Okay.
I was 22. So I took it, and I'm like, I don't feel anything.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, I'm drinking beer at this time, too.
Oh, good.
So they're like, do you want the whole thing?
Oh, good.
And I said, sure. I don't think it's really working. So we get in the car.
I don't think it's working.
Brian, you'll understand these references. We're on the way to the Aragon Ballroom.
Right on, the Brawl Room.
The Brawl Room to see Major Lazer, which is a EDM artist.
Right, that reference I did not get.
Okay, Parker gets that one.
Awesome name for an EDM artist.
Awesome name. We're on our way, and one of my best friends, one of my groomsmen in my wedding, happened to be in line at the ballroom, and I had no clue he was going to be there.
Okay.
Like one of my best friends, and I said, what are you doing here? Because he lived in Kentucky at that time. He goes, I'm here for the concert. I said, you didn't want to say anything to me? He's like, well, yeah, we're really excited. They're all sober. And they're like at the front of the line. So we cut the entire line.
Oh,
and this is important.
Okay.
We get into the venue. So we were one of the first people in. So naturally, we're towards the front of the stage.
Right on.
That means I'm standing right next to the speakers. And in the middle of the set, it hits.
Yeah.
And I felt the sensation build up from my toes, reach to my body, mm-hmm. and then I blacked out for like a second, and I lost it. Just complete panic. My girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife and roommate, looks at me and goes, what's wrong? And I stammered for about 10 seconds and couldn't talk.
Good God.
So she had to pull me away to the back. I drank some water, and never again.
Sometime when we have more time, I will. I had never smoked marijuana until 2 years ago. My entire life, never. I like to drink, and like you, Frank, no shade on people who enjoy it. Most of my friends and all of my siblings enjoyed it, mm-hmm. But it was not a good experience, and. Because I smoked way too much, not knowing how much. Because I smoked cigars, you smoked the whole cigar.
Yeah.
Oh, you smoke a whole cigar.
No.
Not some giant joint, some Cheech and Chong Bob Marley concoction that Seth Rogen had made for me. It was not a good night. This 420 day is attributed to a bunch of guys called the Waldos in California. And then the word of it spread. So it is 420 day. Celebrate responsibly, folks. If you're waking and baking, just be cool, man. Don't harsh anybody's mellow today. More applesauce feedback. Who knew? Big topic, applesauce and grocery shopping for men. Mark in Prairie du Sac says, don't you know that grocery shopping is a middle finger to Jesse Waters and the whole right-wing media sphere? Yeah, Frank,
I remember when that happened, and I was like, dude, I always do the grocery shopping.
I do, too.
I do the cooking. Therefore, I'm shopping for my own goods.
Yeah. Definitely. And he says he knows where the applesauce is at his local Piggly Wiggly. When we come back, would you be okay with the National Guard at polling places this November? It may not be as far-fetched as you think. We'll get to that. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back to Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie is on vacation this week, but you are always welcome to join me at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Would you be okay with the National Guard at polling places in November? Now, that sounds contrary to everything that America stands for, that we would have the military at polling places. It doesn't sound right. And it's going to lead, I think, to a big conflict, not only between the people and the administration, but the National Guard and the administration, because on Friday, The National Guard's top general told Congress that it would follow the Constitution and the law when he was asked about the possibility that the president would order troops to polling places for midterm elections. So it goes back to the, remember the whole thing about the video with Mark Kelly and a bunch of other senators and congresspeople who had all served in the military, and they basically reminded the members of the military that it's okay to follow unlawful, to not follow unlawful orders. And it actually is their duty to not follow unlawful orders. And there was a big kerfuffle about that. And Whiskey Pete got all upset and decided that he was going to take on Mark Kelly, which backfired for him. But anyway, you're not supposed to follow unlawful orders. So the general, the remarks were at a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing. It came as Democratic lawmakers voiced unease over the continuing deployment of nearly 2,500 National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., which, you know, they don't have anything for them to do. So we've seen footage of them picking up trash, just hanging around because they're deployed to fight all these domestic terrorists, which are not real. So, I don't know. Anyway, Representative Joe Morrell, he's a New York Democrat. He asked General Steve Nordhaus, he's the chief of the National Guard Bureau, what assurances he could provide to Americans concerned about the deployment of troops at the polls. And he said, quote, "The National Guard obviously always follows the Constitution, law, policy, and guidance, both at the federal and state level." Now, you may say, well, Brian, okay, what is the federal law? Parker, here's your civics quiz. Do you know the federal law on the deployment of military?
I do not. Please educate.
It prohibits it, Parker. That was an easy question. Yes. The U.S. Constitution and federal law prohibit the deployment of military to polling places unless necessary. Now, here's going to be the caveat that the administration is probably going to jump through hoops and bend over backwards and spin about and put their left one in and the left one out, and they're going to do it, shake it all about until they do the hokey pokey, because can't deploy the military to polling places unless necessary, quote, to repel armed enemies of the United States, end quote. And violations are punishable by up to 5 years in prison. We have never had armed enemies of the state at elections. We've had people protest. We've had in this country, which we have a right to do. We have all of that. Well, the president, still, he does not buy into this. He's still saying he should have ordered National Guard to seize ballot boxes during the 2020 election. Yes, that was 6 years ago, friends. He still maintains was stolen, the election. So he ruminates on a bad decision not to send the National Guard in 6 years ago. But we've all proven that it's his reasoning is false. But then Steve Bannon, you remember Steve Bannon, the greasy troll-looking guy who wants to burn it all down. That was his quote. He's a former Trump advisor. He's publicly urged the president to send the military and ICE agents to patrol the polls, which they hope, come on, we all know why they would want ICE agents outside the polls, and you know why they would want the military and National Guard. You know why they want everybody at the polls, and that is to deter certain people from coming to vote. Now, we all know it is untrue that illegal immigrants are going to the polls by the thousands and throwing the election. We know that's false. We know the amount of voter fraud is minuscule at best. The percentage is so low, it shouldn't even be a percentage. We know that to be a fact. But if you put ICE agents out there, based on the track record of what ICE has been doing over the last few months, anybody who even bears a resemblance to someone from who may have immigrated to this country is going to be afraid. People who just don't are triggered by the fact that the military is standing outside their polling place are going to be afraid. So Pam is right. It is illegal. As I said, it's illegal to have guards at polling places. It is voter intimidation, which is the point I'm making, that you're trying to get people not to vote. Because as we've seen, or as it appears, I will say, just to make sure that everybody is on the same page when we're trying to stay factual, it appears that if everybody gets to vote, the Republicans don't win. And so, to quote Lou Holtz, if they can't beat you straight up, they're going to try to beat you in other ways. And so that's it. Last year, the president deployed the National Guard to several Democratic-led cities, in some instances federalizing them against the will of governors who typically command the National Guard. He also sent active-duty Marines into Los Angeles. That didn't turn out well. Opponents of the deployment expressed fears that they represented a test run for intimidating voters, and that is exactly what they did. It was a test run, in my opinion anyway. Now, Mark says, having the National Guard there is fine if they are there to keep the peace and MAGA goons away. Also, then he says Trump's mob isn't mobilized in D.C., so the National Guard isn't needed. Yes, there's no need to have the National Guard out other than when he looks out the window, he can see more military personnel than normally surround the White House, which, you know, they need guards at the White House. I get that. They need security. But, yeah. All right, listen, when we come back, are you in favor of Wisconsin judges being required to step aside in cases where campaign spending may raise impartiality questions? Oh, man, look at it. We went from pot talk and applesauce to serious government issues. That's the beauty of Daybreak here on the Civic Media.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Yes, I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie isn't here. She's on vacation. I'll remind you that a few more times, or then maybe I'll just leave it as a mystery. And you go, oh, what happened to Jamie? And then, I don't know. Maybe I don't. Maybe I keep it from you. Maybe that's how I am. Everything, cards close to the vest. No, that's not true. We're going to tell you. Jamie's on vacation. She'll be back next week. All right. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. Would you be in favor of Wisconsin judges being required to step aside in cases where campaign spending issues may come up and raise questions of impartiality? Now, the reason I ask that is because Wisconsin judges could be required to step aside from cases where previous campaign spending raises questions about their impartiality under a proposed rule up for consideration June 4th. Let me give you a little background, if I might. In 2010, a 4-3 conservative majority adopted rules written by the Wisconsin Realtors Association and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce that say a judge, quote unquote, shall not be required to recuse based solely on an endorsement or a campaign contribution. Now, the next year, 2011, if you're keeping track at home, the court's conservative majority ruled that if a justice is accused of bias and asked to recuse, only the justice themselves can decide whether to stay on the case. That seems, you know, a little harmless or toothless, that if there is an accusation, if the judge can just say, nope, not true, I'm going to back away. Then in 2017, the conservative-controlled court voted 5-2 to reject a proposal from 54 retired jurists to establish campaign contribution thresholds that would force a judge or justice off a case involving the donor, arguing it would impede free speech. As a result, the 2010 rules have remained in place, which brings us back to today. Now, if you heard that background and you're a little puzzled, join the club. So am I. I don't think, I'm surprised that all the power to recuse sits with the judge themselves, because I'm guessing a judge doesn't want to have to recuse themselves, because that would show, in my opinion, and if it were me, if I were a judge, one, I'd never wear pants under the robe. But that's beside the point, because, you know, justice is heated, and I don't need to overheat. So, what was I saying? That I wouldn't wear pants? No, the important part of what I'm saying. If I were a judge, I would not want the appearance of impartiality. Even if somebody said, well, this could be a conflict of interest, maybe you should recuse yourself, I would take that as an affront to say, what do you mean? I'm not able to look at the law and make informed decisions based on that, despite who is standing in front of me at the bench? So I can see judges being a little hesitant. Well, now the state Supreme Court is going to hold a public hearing on the petition. It's been filed by a group of retired circuit court judges earlier this year, so June 4th is the day for this public hearing. Under the proposed rule, judges would be required to recuse themselves in a case where they know or they reasonably should know, which is another nice loophole. How do I know? We know there's a lot of dark money coming in for campaigns. We hear it all the time from candidates on both sides of the aisle. Oh, I didn't know so-and-so was giving money, because so-and-so may give the money, as we've seen, to the state party. The state party then puts money in your campaign. You think it comes from the state. You don't go all the way back. Should every candidate, including a judge, track where all your campaign money comes from to avoid some of the surprises we see all the time? Yes, I would argue, but they don't. So anyway, there's your loophole. Reasonably should know that support for their candidacy, whether through direct contributions or through independent expenditures or issuance or issue advocacy groups, quote, raises a reasonable concern about the judge's ability to be impartial, end quote. I'm not sure reasonable concern is enough, but it is all we have in this case. So you have to look at it and, all right, but what's the bar for reasonable? And I guess at the public hearing, the Supreme Court's going to argue or hear about this. What do you consider a reasonable concern about the judge's ability to be impartial? So the Supreme Court, under a different ideological composition now, we know there is a liberal majority, we should say, on the court. Not necessarily Democratic, but they are liberal. And we have a new Supreme Court justice elect that increases that liberal majority. They have rejected previous efforts to implement recusal rules for judges on cases involving their financial background. I don't know. I told you about the background of it. So let's get a little more into this current proposal. But what do you think? Is anything that raises a doubt at all a good enough reason to ask a judge to recuse themselves? Because if you look at it down the road, that's going to cut down on the number of appeals, which is going to clear up the court dockets a little bit. It puts everything above board. And the way money burrows itself into every aspect of our lives, including the law, unfortunately, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth if you find out that the judge is hearing a case. Now, I'm just making up something about the energy companies in a data center. Let's just say a judge is hearing one of those cases. And then it comes out later that the energy company was a huge, huge donor to either the state party or some other indirect method to this judge's campaign. Even if that judge rules correctly and follows the law, does that appearance of impropriety, the appearance of the fact that they could not be impartial, is that enough to once again take a little chip out of our faith in the system? It does open the door for, as I said, all kinds of appeals. Lynn's in Golden Valley. She's listening on WCFW. So Elon Musk can just donate $20 to all judges left and right, and they all need to recuse. Lynn, this is where it gets confusing. And this is where the Supreme Court is going to have to really be very clear on what constitutes a reasonable concern about impartiality. Because when you put it that way, no, because then what judge is going to be left to hear the cases? But if it's somebody that Elon Musk or anybody donates $20,000 or more, or their PAC donates to the party and the party gives them that money, and it comes up and it becomes concerning, then yes, I think somebody should have to recuse. I think it would have to be, though, very serious and easy to make the connection between the money and the judge, and then yes, I think then they should have to. But not every judge, not every case, not every concern is going to be something that is worthwhile of getting a judge to recuse. So this change would also include factors to be considered in determining impartiality and a procedure for addressing recusals. So there you go. That is going to be the key. You can't expect anybody to follow rules that you have never given them. You can't expect guidelines to be followed when people don't know the guidelines. Once you spell it out and judges agree to it, then everybody's on a level playing field. Right now, they are not. Okay? When asked about a recusal at an October 23rd WisPolitics event, Chief Justice Jill Karofsky said the court should have formal rules and guidelines in place, and they should be discussed in a public hearing. We're having a little public town square hearing right now. But again, June 4th, if you have thoughts about this, you should go. This is where you actually are going to have input on what the state decides. So if you can, go to this. Karofsky is one of several liberal justices on the court who advocated stronger recusal rules in their campaigns, along with Justice Rebecca Dallet in her 2018 race and Justice Janet
Protosewich.
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 I remember
that
the commercials.
2023.
Yes.
See, that's very good. Thank you, Park. Parker with the tip in, the assist. He gets 1 point and his hockey score. I am mixing up all sports with that little commentary.
Hey, that's fine.
Going from hockey to basketball to everything. So there you go. That's what's happening. Now, I would be in, this all comes to a head, and you know why it all comes to a head. Because of the unbelievable amount of money that has been spent on Wisconsin judicial races in the last few years. And yes, one of the big ones was last year when Elon decided he was going to try to buy Wisconsin's votes. And Wisconsin voters said, we don't think so. We're gonna just vote the way we want to. So thank you very much, but you're gone. And it has become alarming. And we've talked about it a lot, about how much money is being spent. And you always wonder, while we want the judges and we want our Supreme Court, we want them to be above the kind of greed and influence that money often brings to politicians through lobbying and contributions and everything else. We also know that judges, while they are learned in the law and impartial in most cases, are also human. And if there's room in the law to benefit one of their big donors, well, then legally and ethically, they can make that, they can bend things a little bit. They're not breaking anything. They're just bending the law just enough to make it work. I don't know. Recusal rules. I also like that this hearing is going to go toward setting very firm, very clear guidelines that are going to set the stage for what could come. So don't forget, we'll let you know when it gets closer. June 4th is the public hearing. You are part of the public. You probably are concerned about this. If not, you should be a little bit. So I would say go to the public hearing if you get a chance and voice your opinions. Okay? Okay. All right, when we come back, this is, Parker.
Brian.
Get Civic's legal team on the horn.
Oh, boy.
Because I have beef. I think beef. Someone was listening to this program at its inception.
Yeah.
And stole an idea from us. And is now profiting off of said idea.
Do you think?
Well, that's what I'm going to go with.
Hmm.
Now, since I have not contributed any money to any judges' campaigns, they have no reason to help me out.
No.
I think the other side may have... the other side is big business, and they have money. So there may be some contributions and lobbying on their behalf. But we'll figure it out. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, but you are curious, why is Brian going to sue big business? Well, I have to tell you that. I'll give you a hint. It ties into liquor. It ties into playoff hockey. And it ties in to an, I think it was on Netflix or Netflix.
Is that what that's from?
I don't know, but I know it's a show
some
either
kind
on
of
Netflix.
Streaming.
I'll look it up. Yeah, it's a streaming program. All right. So there you go. There's the tease. We'll get to it more. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie's on vacation, but we're still here. And this is Daybreak. And this is, in fact, Pacific Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Welcome back. It is Monday. Hope you're doing all right. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get involved in the program. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie is on vacation. Our crack producing team, Frank and Parker, are with me this morning. They'll be with me all week unless they decide to bail too. But
meh.
But really, who then would take your spot?
That's a great point.
Is there
nobody?
Nobody for Frank.
This is it.
This is what I call job security.
Yeah, we're operating on shoestring staffing, but that's all right. We can always, at the end of the week, enjoy a cocktail. Or if we're going to a Flyers game in Philadelphia, we can get ourselves a nice cocktail too. But here's the thing. Before we get into this story, I got a beef because if you've been listening since the inception of this show, at the beginning of the show, we had two technical producers. We had Parker, and then we had some other kid that he's gone, so we don't even mention his name. He's like the Voldemort of producers. No, it's Dom.
R.I.P.
He's still alive, just
Not to us.
Not to the show.
Pour one out. He works for Nightlight now. He's their guy. He bailed on us quick. But anyway, so there were two of them, Parker and Dom, were in the producer booth there, and I started calling it the Boyquarium, and it stuck. And we called it the Boyquarium, and we don't anymore because that would, you know, singles Parker out too much. And
I don't want to be a lone fish.
He might be triggered. He doesn't want to feel like a lone fish. He might go to HR, and then, you know, I got enough problems. I don't need that added to the list of problems. So imagine my surprise, Frank, when you send me a post the other day with a TikTok trend that's saying women refer to this to NHL teams and the hockey rinks as boy aquariums. Now, this is inspired, I guess, by the HBO show Heated Rivalry. Did you watch Heated Rivalry, Frank?
I didn't watch it. My wife loved it.
The ladies seem to really like it. And I want to be careful about saying that I didn't watch it because I don't want anybody to think I didn't watch it for certain reasons. But it's basically about a gay relationship within a hockey team, correct?
Yeah, it's actually, if you watch hockey, the characters are basically based off of if Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby had a secret relationship.
Wow.
Like one's Russian, one's Canadian.
Way out.
No, I'm being serious.
I know
it's
you
the
are.
Same, it's the
I know,
same.
It's based on a book. Yes.
It's the same type of hockey player.
Right.
Like they're rivals, like those two players are. One's Russian, one's Canadian. Connect the dots.
All right. Well, they're connecting other things, which is, I think, the ladies did love this show. They loved it. So now, Aramark, who handles all the concessions at a lot of stadiums, they are going to offer the Boy Aquarium cocktail during the playoffs. It's a vodka, blue curacao, Sprite, and mango boba drink with a Swedish fish. It's in a fish bowl, obviously. And boba is those tapioca pearls. I've never had boba.
Love boba.
Boba's
delicious.
Boba guy? Yeah.
Really?
I live in the city. There's boba tea shops everywhere.
But do they dissolve? What do? You chew on them? What's the
deal?
There's
two of them. There's like the jelly boba, the ones you're talking about, and then there's also popping boba, which are a lot like thinner, and they're just filled with like juice.
Okay, so what
those
about
are
the
better?
Yeah, what are the plastic boba? Why are you putting gravel in the bottom of your drink? What goes on with that?
Because it's fun.
But for
why
what?
Is my
do you
drink
eat
carbonated? Because
I don't know.
Fun.
Do you eat it? Do they? So you chew them?
No,
it's
not like a sunflower seed. You don't suck on it, spit it out,
and then spit out the plastic that contains the.
No,
The goo, you just eat it?
It's good.
Do Brian, they come up through the straw?
I'll bring you
I'm
a bubble
I'm asking
tea.
Questions. Do
no,
they?
I know.
All right. I don't know.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, this is the drink that's being sold. This is now we were doing, I don't know, Frank did the most specific job of describing heated rivalries. This is how our AI overlords describe heated rivalry.
Oh boy.
Is a Canadian drama series based on Rachel Reed's novel, focused on the secret years-long romantic relationship between Shane Hollander and Ilya Rosanoff. As rival NHL stars, they navigate competition, media attention, and homophobia while transitioning from rivals to lovers. With the show exploring themes of love, denial, and self-discovery, and there is an Airbnb based on, I guess there's a cabin where they have their trysts, or they go to be alone, and you can rent out this Airbnb, and it is booked for like the next 2 years. I'm guessing mostly by bachelorette party groups.
Really? I mean, yeah, that's a prime location. It's like that and the Hannah Montana house in Malibu are like two prime bachelorette Airbnbs.
Well, I don't know.
Can you Airbnb the Hannah Montana house?
It was a thing for, it might have been just a special thing. They were only did it for like a couple of weeks. But yeah. And it was
going to say, now Parker's
going to
put in for vacation.
Alicia Bryan says, I told you about hockey arenas being called Boyquarium.
You may have, Alicia. I'm not saying you didn't. You probably did.
I can attest to this. She did.
There you go.
Alicia was on it.
Well, all right. Let me raise this question then for all the politically correct people out there. Isn't Boyquarium a little offensive? What if we went to a ladies' hockey game? And we called it,
Yeah, what are you calling
it? Chick Dome.
The Chick Dome.
Wow.
Or the lady
repository.
That
would be good for like women's like flag football or like arena football.
The Chick Dome.
The dome. Chick Dome would be good.
Just sounds like
it's sponsored by Chick-fil-A.
Frank. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. By the way, in case anybody thinks I'm serious, I don't think it's offensive. Hockey players obviously don't. I don't know if they're embracing it. They're just kind
of... Who cares? They're going to pay millions of dollars. They don't care.
I'm ice skating. I'm playing hockey. You can call it the Boyquarium if you want. If it draws more ladies into the sport, either as fans of the NHL and then supporters of women's hockey, good. Bring them in. Let them go. And let them... You know, I don't care if the ladies in the stands are just fantasizing the whole time, but... Who knows? All right, when we come back, it's headline time. There's news everywhere, and there's all kind of stuff you need to know. And we will be getting to it in the second hour of the program. And remember, you can always keep up to date on our social medias. Daybreak with Brian Diddy.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.